All right, we're starting here at the top of Pehei Amud Aleph. There is a question asked of Rav Sheshet. The second line down, by Minei Rav Sheshet, Ben Maush Yeses Shliach, the Aviv, the Hakuto, or the Kalulo. Can a child be used as the Shliach Beit Din in order to, for instance, perform a Malkot, or to exercise or execute on behalf of Beis Din? So Rav Sheshet responded, V'amalei, V'acher, Mihitiru. First of all, your question is about a son because of the unique standing of a son and a father. But that assumes that somehow a third party has a different din than this individual that is the son of the party that's being punished. But that's not true because even a third party has a restriction against hitting another friend or hitting anyone else in Bnei Israel. So why are they allowed to hit? So that's what he's asked. The exemption here of allowing them to carry out the will of Beis Din is because there's an exemption for Kavod Shemayim. So because of Kavod Shemayim, we say, despite the fact that generally there's an issue of restriction against hitting a fellow man or a fellow Jew, therefore we don't allow you to do it normally, but here's an exemption because of Kvod Shemayim. So too over here, Achanami Kvod Shemayim Adif. So too by the son, we'll say the same thing. Even though generally a son is not allowed to hit a father, the exemption of Kvod Shemayim will apply over here. So now the Gemara is going to challenge this position of Rav Sheshet, which says that a son can be the Shliach Beit Din in order to carry out or execute on behalf of Beis Din Meitbe. Uma Mishi Mitzuveh Lahakuto. So again, I'll translate it, but the Gemara is going to try to explain what this means. One who is commanded to hit him, mitzuve shelo lahakuto, is commanded not to hit him. Mish enu mitzuve lahakuto, someone's not commanded to hit him, enu din shi mitzuve shelo lahakuto, isn't it certain that he shouldn't be able to hit him? So my love, what's this right to mean? Idi v'idi v'malko mitzvah. We're talking about here that there are two individuals here. Both of them are doing it or carrying out the orders of Beit Din. But habibno, habecher. The difference between these two statements in the Braita is one refers to his son and one refers to someone else. So this is how we would read it. Uma mishi mitzuve lahakuto. Here, a person in general has a right to carry out the will of Beis Din. This is a acher, a third party. Mitzuve shelo lahakuto. He is commanded not to go over or exceed the amount that Beis Din has said. Misha eni mitzuve lahakuto. One who's not commanded to hit their parent, meaning that they're restricted from hitting their parent. So that we're referring to a bino. Enu din shi mitzuve shelo lahakuto. Then certainly he shouldn't go over the limit. Certainly he shouldn't be able to exceed the hitting. So now, what the setup of this breita suggests is that there is an azhara for Makeh Aviv, that there is some restriction against hitting one's father, because over here, the breita lays it out that there are two parties here. One is the third party, who is allowed to carry out the will of Beis Din, and then there's the son, who is not commander, not allowed to carry out the will of Beis Din. If that's the case, that's against Rav Sheshet, who says that a son, just like anybody else, can carry out the will of Beis Din. So Mara says, no. We don't have to explain the breita this way. Look, idi v'idi lo shna b'no v'lo shna acher. Doesn't matter who the party is here. V'lo kasha ha'ag b'kom mitzvah kan shlo b'makom mitzvah. The difference in the two statements of the breita relate to whether this is a place, this is a mitzvah or not a mitzvah. Then this is what it means. Ma b'makom mitzvah shi mitzvah l'hakoto. In a place where Beit Din, he's carrying out the shlichot of Beis Din, there it's a mitzvah for him to hit mitzvah shlo l'hakoto. Nevertheless, he's not allowed to exceed the amount that Beis Din has determined will be meted out as a punishment for this individual. Shelo b'makom mitzvah, in a place where it's not a makom mitzvah, she'enu mitzvah lakoto, enu din shi mitzvah shelo lakoto. So in a place where it's not a makom mitzvah, and there's no right to hit your fellow man or your fellow Jew, then certainly there, you cannot hit your fellow man. So if we learn from the word pen yosif, which is when we're talking about a shliach Beit Din that's carrying out or meeting out the punishment of Beit Din. Over there, we learn pen yosif, that you're not allowed to exceed the amount of Beis Din. From there, we learn azhara, restriction against hitting one's fellow man. So over here, you see the first attempt of the Gemara, or is to explain the Braita in a manner that says that that restriction applies to someone who exceeds the amount of Beit Din. It applies to a regular person, but it also applies to an individual who comes to Makeh Aviv, someone who comes to hit their parent, they are restricted from hitting their parent, even with the tzivuy beis din, even as a shliach beit din. That was the first attempt of the Gemara. The Gemara rejects that and says, no, that pen yosif is the same, whether it's a son, whether it's a third party, you're not allowed to exceed the amount that beit din gets. So yes, there's a restriction against any party hitting their fellow Jew. And there's also a restriction against exceeding the amount that Beit Din says. So the Azhara, according to the first attempt of reading the Braisa, the Azhara was simply that, Azhara l'makei aviv. We learn a restriction against hitting one's parent, even b'malkom shliach Beit Din. And in the second case, we will learn out that is an Azhara to hitting one's father or chavero, or their friend, meaning either way, there's a restriction against hitting a fellow Jew, because here it's not referring to a case of Beit Din. It's referring to a case where there is no Beit Din, and there, of course, there's a restriction. So again, the first statement in the Braita says, you are permitted to do something, but if you exceed that amount, you're not permitted. Then certainly in a case where there is no permission, you can't do it. So what is the no permission case? The first attempt of the Braita to say the no permission case is a case of a son to a father, even in a context of Beit Din. And the second explanation of the Gemara is no, that the and a mitzvah is anybody. Nobody's allowed to hit their fellow man, and therefore it becomes an azhara, becomes a lav, or we're trying to suggest through this kavah chomer that it's a lav for anybody, whether you're hitting one's father, whether you're hitting another fellow Jew. This is a restriction, this is a lav that comes from the word pen yosif. And as Tosus points out, I've mentioned this before, that what we say in general, that you can't, in mazhirin min adin, that you can't punish through a kavah chomer, that's true of punishment. That's if you're giving malkot, if you're actually punishing with that. But to create an ashara, to create the restriction, but we have an onish that's explicit, there you can use a kavah chomer to create the ashara, which we'll be doing over here. So now the Gemara says, Tashma, let's try another attempt to question Rav Sheshet's position. I'd say the Hiraig, someone is being taken out to be executed by Beis Din, Ubabino, and then his son comes, Viko, and hits him, Vikilolo, and he curses him. Chayav. The son is Chayav for Makeh Avivimo, and he's also Chayav for Mikalel Avivimo. Ba'acher Viko, if it's a third party that hits him, Vikilolo, or curses him, Patur. They're Patur. Va'avinim ba, Mashnai Bino, Mashnai Acher. Why does it matter whether it's his son, or whether it's a third party? Why does it make a difference if it's his son, you are chayav, when it's a third party, you're patur? So, Amar Rav Chista says, I can explain this bright up, but Misarvim Balatseit, Vino Yotzei. Beit Din wants him to go out, and he refuses to go out. So therefore, Beit Din has to use force, and tries to use a way to move this individual to go to the execution. So therefore, if it's a third party, they're permitted to use force based on Beis Din's request to move the person out to the execution. On the other hand, his son is not permitted to do that, even though it's a Beit Din. So the way Rav Chista explains the Braita, be a problem for Rav Sheshet's explanation. Rav Sheshet said before that when it comes to Shlichut Beit Din, even a son can do it. Over here, it sounds like the difference in the Braita has to do with whether you are a son or a third party when you are a Shliach Beit Din. That even a Shliach Beit Din, a son is not allowed to be the Shliach of Beit Din. So Rav Sheshet, what's Rav Sheshet going to say? Mukila b'shem misarvim b'lotzei. Obviously, he's going to explain the Braita in a case where they're not trying to convince him or pressure him to go out to the execution. So yachi, if that's the case, acher nami. Then why is a third party not chayav when he hits him and when he curses him? So when it says, acher, he's a gavra ketilu. To a third party, this individual is a dead man walking. Meaning that he already had a gemar din and Beis Din. He already had the sentencing done. And now they're just taking him out to execution. So he's basically a dead man walking. And therefore, the acher is potur. So if that's the case that the acher is potur, now the Gemara says, Vamar Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet, we have a question about this. The girsi here is unclear. Either Baisho Yashanu Meit Chayav. Either the statement of Rav Sheshet is that someone, if you embarrass a fellow Jew, and then while he's sleeping, and he never awakens from that sleep and he passes away, you're still, according to Rav Sheshet, Chayav to compensate his heirs for the busha that you created for him. So first of all, we see from that there's no requirement that the individual be alive, quote unquote, to be considered a Gavra Ketalohu. Over here, you had someone who was sleeping and then died, and you still have to compensate, and why should it be different when we're taking him out to execute him? That's one girsa. The other girsa that the Rabbeinu Tam has, which is Amar Rav Sheshet, Baisho Chayav. The Rav Sheshet made the statement about Hayotze Lehareg, someone who was going out to be executed, and someone embarrassed them, Chayav. That's what Rav Sheshet said, Chayav, and that would be a problem now. Because if you're explaining our Braita here, you're explaining according to Rav Sheshet by saying, okay, by the third party, it's a dead man walking, so there's no chiyuv, but we know from Rav Sheshet there is a chiyuv, so that can't be the explanation. The case here in the Braita is where he hit him, but the value of, or the damage that was done through the hitting was less than a shave pruta. So less than a shave pruta, that's why he is patur over here. Okay, but if you hit your fellow Jew, and you don't have to compensate here, nevertheless, you still get malkot. So how could you say that he's patur? Patur, it means that he's not chayav for anything. The third party can do this and he will be not chayav in anything. But that's not true. True, he may not be chayav for monetary compensation because he hit him worth less than a shavu pruta. Nevertheless, he's still chayav because to be kabel malkot. So Gemara says, my patur, the kamar patur mi mamon. That's a patur here means no, that he is patur from monetary compensation, but not addressing the issue of whether he is chayav for corporal punishment. He might be chayav malkut. So michlal, if that's the case, the beno chayav, then if you in the bright, when it says beno chayav, sounds like he's chayav to compensate, be mamon. So what do you mean? The son is chayav mamon. Why should the son be chayav for compensation? Son is never chayav compensation because when he hits a parent, that's a chiyuv mita that's associated with that. Because a chiyuv mita was associated with that, there's no chiyuv mamon that's going to come along. How can you say chayav for the child means chayav mamon? It must be that we're talking about ela bedino. When it's chayav, it means chayav bedin. Din of the son is that he's put to death over makeh avivimo or mekalel avivimo. So if that's the case, alchanami bedino. When you say potur for the third party, it must be potur means from his din. And you can't say it's pachah mishav pruta because there you still get malkot. And we're saying patur. Patur mi din is not true. He's chayav in the din to get malkot. Ela acher hainu taima de patur. This is the reason that acher is patur. Damakra v'nasi be'amcha lo ta'or. That when it says the restriction against cursing a fellow Jew is limited by the pasuk which says v'nasi be'amcha lo ta'or. Be'amcha. So be'oseh ma'aseh amcha. Only someone who does what the rest of the nation does. That means, or the explanation of that literal translation is that a individual must be acting appropriately, keeping the Torah and the mitzvot, and acting in a manner that does not require the punishment of Beit Din in order to be included in Amcha. So therefore, he is excluded. This person is going out to execution. He's excluded from Maaseh Amcha. Obviously, he did something wrong because he's being executed. So when it says, Hantaniach Kalala, that takes care of the Klala portion of the Braita, because we have Nasib Amcha. We have a qualifier by Klala that it has to be someone who is in conformance with the Torah and the mitzvot, and this person is not. But haka'a minolin, what are you going to say about haka'a? Where it says, makshin and haka'a leklala. They have a hekesh between hitting and cursing. The connection or the hekesh between this haka'a and klala, even though it's a question mark, it's a machlokas, whether there is such a hekesh, we're going to see on the next amud that there's someone argues on this hekesh, but the fact is that these two psukim are found, but they're not found exactly juxtaposed. There is one intervening pasuk. So the question is, do you say there's a hekesh between haka'a and klala or not? So this tan or this tan of this bryson, we're going to suggest, says there is such a hekesh. If there is such a hekesh, then the reason that he's patur, a third party's patur from a klala, is because nasi b'amcha tol ta'or. There's a qualifier of amcha. If he hits, a third party hits, this individual is going to act execution, he's patur, because haka'a is like klala. So the same qualifier we have by klala, we're going to apply to haka'a. Mar says, okay, yachi b'no nami. So why should his ben be chayav? Why is the son chayav? Why is the son in a worse position than a third party? So Mar says, well, kadam rav Pinchas, but the son, that's not a problem, because you also tshuva. That he did tshuva, achanami basa tshuva. So the Bible says, okay, so he did tshuva. If he did tshuva, then the son hitting him or cursing him, right, and it's still restricted because then he is osei maase amcha. Mar says, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. Yachi acher nami. Then also a third party. If he did tshuva already, then a third party also should be restricted. I mean, that why should there, you can't differentiate b'no and acher. Either he didn't do tshuva, he's not osei maase amcha, and therefore there'll be no restriction against cursing or hitting the individual, whether it's a third party or the son, because the same azhara that applies in to a person that curses their fellow Jew, it also applies to the cursing of a parent. So that since it comes from the same azhara, the same dinim will apply. So if amcha is a qualifier by klala for third party, amcha will also be a qualifier for the ben towards the father. If you say that the ben is here is chayav because the parent did tshuva, if he did tshuva, then he is also a maase amcha. Then not only should the son be chayav, even a third party should be chayav in this case. So I'm a maravi ba'amcha b'mikuyam sheba'amcha. But the amcha here again is a qualifier that not just b'amcha means that osei maase amcha, but mikuyam. A ru'ui li tkayim, someone who will survive, someone who will have longevity with the nation. So mikuyam b'amcha means not somebody who's heading out to execution. Someone's heading out to execution is not in the qualification of amcha. So Mar says again, that's great explanation, but we understand why a third party is patur. But then b'no nami, why isn't the child also patur? So we're having a problem here. We have Rav Sheshet, who says that a son is allowed to carry out the maaseh beit din. We have Rav Chisto explains a brayta saying that a son may not carry out a maaseh beit din. And now we want Rav Sheshet to explain this brayta, not like Rav Chisto. So we say, okay, no, it's not like Rav Chisto, it's not dealing with the maaseh beit din. But then we can't find a way to differentiate between a child and a third party. If we can't find a way to differentiate between a child and a third party, we have a difficulty explaining this brayta, because the brayta says that a child is chayav in these instances, and a third party is patur. So far we've failed at that. So the Gemara says, mida de havei lachar mita. Now, this case of being taken out to execution is the equivalent of achar mita, after death. So now that we're going to see in the coming Mishnah, a mekalel aviv mimo, a person that curses, one that curses their parents, is chayav mita even after the death of their parents. So now that would make sense here. Now we can all of a sudden, now we have something to differentiate between a child and a third party. By a third party, mekalel only applies while the person is alive. When it comes to a child, the restriction against cursing applies even after death. So now we're talking about a dead man walking. He's going out to execution. So he's a dead man walking when a third party is not chayav klala lachar mita. Nothing to talk about. When it comes to klala of a child towards a parent, even after mita, there is a chiyuv. So even if he's a dead man walking, there's still a chiyuv. What about haka'ah? What about hitting? So when it comes to a third party by hitting, when it comes to a third party hitting, there, he's a dead man. So if he hits the individual who's going out to be executed, he's patur, because there is no such thing as a makeh le'achar mita. You can't hit someone after mita. And guess what? Chabura has the same din, that even a child who hits a parent after mita is also not chayav. So over here, we should have a patur. So we explained klala. We explained that cursing, there's a difference between a child and a third party after death, because after death, a third party is not chayav, whereas a child is chayav. So now we can explain when this person being taken out to execution, the difference. But by haka'ah, by hitting, both a child and a third party are patur after death, and are chayav prior, when the person's alive. So now how do we explain that differentiation? So Rashi tells us, what's the reason that someone is patur la'achar mita? The reason that a person is patur la'achar mita is because there's no chabura. There's no damage that's done, because there's no more nefesh. The person has no more life force in them, so you can't create a chabura if there is no nefesh. So now, this person who's going out, yes, he's a dead man walking, but you still has a nefesh inside of him. If he has a nefesh inside him, you have the ability to create the chabura. If you have the ability to create a chabura, then true. In terms of compensation towards the individual from a third party, there they're going to be patur, right? They're going to be, because they're hitting a dead man. We're talking about a compensation, talking about Malkut, they are going to be patur. But when it comes to a child, the child, all the Torah was makpid on was there's chabura. If you make a chabura, you're chayav mita. You don't make a chabura, you're not chayav mita. And over here, you're going to make a chabura. So even though he's a dead man walking, you're going to make a chabura. So that'll be the distinction in haka'ah, in hitting. In hitting, a third party will be patur because it's a dead man. On the other hand, for a child, he will be chayav haka'ah because we're dealing with chabura. And chabura is the only issue. And if you can make a chabura, you're chayav. If you can't, you're not. So after death, you can't make a chabura, so the child will be patur. But a dead man walking, when he's being executed, he still has a nefesh inside of him. And when you hit them, there will be a chabura, there will be blood. Therefore, it will be chayav. The child will be chayav in that instance. So Umar wants to know, ma havi Allah, what's the din? What's the din here? Now we have Rav Sheshit, who says that a child can be a shliach beit din. And we have Rav Chista, who suggests in his explanation of the Gemara, or the Braita before, that a child cannot be a shliach beit din. So the answer Umar says, Amar Rabba bar Ravuna, b'chein tana debate Rabbi Shmuel, Chol ein ben asish shliach laviv lakoto ulekalolo. Child can never be a shliach beit din in order to hit the parent or curse the parent. Chutz mi mesit. The only exception to that rule is a parent who is a mesit. Shari amra Torah lo tachmol v'lo tachaseh alav. Because there, the Torah gives a specific instruction not to have mercy and do not cover up on them. So there, the Torah is matir, basically everything by that individual. Since the Torah is matir, everything in that individual, even by a parent, a child can be the shliach beit din to execute, but otherwise a child cannot. So again, that would be against Rav Sheshit's explanation, and with Rav Chista, or lining with Rav Chista's explanation that a child cannot be a shliach beit din. Okay, next Mishnah, makeh aviv v'imo, enu chayav, ad she'yaseh behen chabura. Person who it's a parent is not chayav until they make a chabura. This is what we've been discussing until now. You require a chabura in order to be chayav. Ze chumra b'makalel b'makeh. There's a chumra of mekalel avivimo from makeh avivimo. Shmekalel achar mita chayav. Person who curses after death a parent is chayav. V'makel achar mita, person hits a parent after their death, is patur. So that's what we saw, the difference that mekalel and makeh have this difference, that is after death, mekalel is chayav. Makalel avivimo after the death of the parent is still chayav, whereas a makeh avivimo after the death can't make a chabura, so you can't be chayav. So that is the chumra. Now the Gemara is going to say, Tanra banan, aviv viimo kilel. So how do we know that you are chayav mita even if you curse afterwards? Because we have an extraneous part of the pasuk. It says ish ish ki akalel avivimo. So there we already know that. So now the end of the pasuk says avivimo kilel. We know that already, aviv imo kilel. So that's extraneous words. From that we learn, aviv imo kilel, achar mita, even after death. you are still mechayev, the individual, for cursing their parents. Sheyachol. I could have said, oh, v'chayev v'makev, v'chayev v'mekalel. The Torah says that a person who hits their parents is chayav. A person who hits their, who curses their parents is also chayav. Mamakenu chayev elo mechayim. Just like by hitting, the only restriction is when they're alive. So, af mekalel enu chayev elo mechayim. So we should apply the same thing to the mekalel. So that's number one. You would say, just like Mamakeh doesn't apply after Mitah, so too by Mikalel it does not apply after Mitah. Makeh doesn't apply after Mitah, we know because of logically. There's no Chaburah, so it can't apply. Now, the old Kavachomer, Umamakeh Shasobo Shlovka Amcha Kiba Amcha, by Makeh, by hitting a parent, or by hitting an individual, there's no such distinction between whether they're Ose Mase Amcha or not Ose Mase Amcha. There is no qualifier. Lo Chiev Bolach Mitah. There, you're still not Chayav after death for the parent, hitting the parent after death. Mikalel, Shlosa bo shlom cham bramcha, by Mikalel, that there is such a qualifier, that a Mikalel is only restricted or only asur if they're ose maase amcha, or mikuyam shamcha, whichever one Tosa says, you could say mikuyam shamcha, whatever limud you learn out of the word amcha qualifies or limits where Mikalel is chayav. Makeh has no such limitation. So if a Makeh after mitah is patur, then certainly Mikalel achar mitah should be patur. And udin shlo yichayev bal achar mitah? Tamal Omar, so that's why we have the pasuk of Vivimo Kilel Lachar Mitah. So we have the extraneous pasuk, a special limit in the pasuk to teach us that Kilelah Lachar Mitah still is Chayav. When I says, Anichel Rabbi Yonatan, that works well according to Rabbi Yonatan, Demiata Lekra, that he has the extra pasuk of Avivimo Kilel. Rabbi Yoshia that needs that pasuk, Maikel Meimar. What are you going to say? So this is a machlokas that we've seen a number of times here. The Tanya, we have a Breita. We saw it earlier in the Gemara here. And we've seen it a couple of other times. Ish Ish. Ma Talmud Omar. It says, Ish Ish Ki Yukalel Avivimo. Ish Ish. What do you need Ish Ish for? So, Rarabot Bat Tumtum Vanjunginus. That includes all of these individuals. It's not just a son that curses the parents. That will be Chayav, but even a daughter, or even a Tumtum, or even Anjunginus. All of these will be Chayav for cursing their parents. Asher Yukalel Et Aviv Vitimo. That curses their parents. Avivimo. En Lel Aviv Vimo. I would think that it means father and mother. Only if you cursed both of them are you chayav. Aviv shleimo, imo shleav aviv. You cursed only the father, or you cursed only the mother. How do I know you're chayav? Tamal omar, aviv imo kilel. Right? That says, aviv imo kilel, aviv kilel, imo kilel. So now the pasuk says, ki kilel aviv imo, ish ish ki kilel aviv imo, and then it says, aviv imo kilel. In the first part of the pasuk, it says, ki kilel aviv imo, the word aviv is next to the word kilel. At the end of the pasuk, the word imo is next to the word ish aviv imo kilel. Imo is juxtaposed to the word kilel. Therefore, there's a restriction against cursing one's father, and there's a restriction against cursing one's mother. So it applies to both. So that's the limud, divrei Rabbi Yoshia. So that's how Rabbi Yoshia learns it. Rabbi Yoshia uses that extraneous words of aviv imo kilel to teach us that not only are you chayav for cursing both parents, but you're chayav even if one curses curses a father, or if one curses the mother individually. That's what he learns from there. So he doesn't have the pasuk available to teach us the achar mitah. On the other hand, Rabbi Yonatan omer mash mishneim keechad, umash meyachad eechad mishnei atzmo. When it says aviv imo, whenever you have that vav achibor, it's mashma both of them together, and it's mashma each one individually, because we have that throughout the Torah, where it uses a joint word. How do I know this? Achivotcha katuv yachtav. So the pasuk comes and tells you specifically yachtav. Rashi reads that the yachtav over here is that when it says, by lo tachrosh b'shor v'chamor yachtav, that you're not allowed to plow with a shor v'chamor together. So there, when it's b'choresh b'shor v'chamor yachdav, the Torah says, even though it says shor v'chamor, why does everyone say yachdav? Of course, if the shor v'chamor, vav v'chibor always means together, then of course it's a shor and a chamor together. So what is the word yachdav coming? It must be that yachdav is coming to tell me that if I didn't have the word yachdav, shor by itself, chamor by itself would have been the understanding of that pasuk. So yachdav comes to tell me don't say that. But that means anywhere else where you don't have the word yachdav, then we're going to say shamor, shor v'chamor, or like here, aviv v'imo, are going to be separate entities. It doesn't have to be aviv v'imo, both of them that are actually mechuyav over here. But even if it's just one of them that he curses, that the person will be chayav. Tosfos back on Samach Vav disagrees with Rashi's explanation of the word of yachtav over there, because he says, of course, we need the word yachtav because by kilayim we need the word yachtav to teach us that it has to be really yachtav, that they really have to be connected, or for instance by the stitching that they actually be stitched together, it can't just be put together. So we use the limud of yachtav for that. So you really did need the word yachtav. So how could that be the limud of yachtav? So Tosfos, on the other hand, tries to give a different explanation of Yachdav. Tosfos back on some of it now says that it's just a svara, that it's a logical thing. Until the pasuk tells you that they're both together, not that we're learning it specifically from this pasuk, but any pasuk. If it tells you it's together, then it's together. If it doesn't, and means and or. So that's what it would mean. And that's the Svara. It's not learned out from any specific puzzle. So now, if that's the case, Minole, where does Rabbi Oshia learn it from? Rabbi Yonatan's fine because he didn't use the word Ish Imo Aviv Imo Kilel because he doesn't need it to teach. He already knows that from Ki Ish Kilel Aviv Imo. He already knows that Aviv Imo are Chayav either for Aviv or for Imo. So he doesn't need the puzzle of Aviv Imo Kilel. He'll use that for this limud here that Achar Mita you're Chayav by Mikalel. But for Rabbi Yosha, who uses it to teach you Aviv Imo separately, then where does he know it from? So Nafalei, Umikalel Aviv Imo Mot Yumat. So that he'll learn out from the pasuk in Parshat Mishpatim that says Mikalel Aviv Imo Mot Yumat. So over there, V'idach. So there you have another pasuk, Mikalel Aviv V'imo Mot Yumat. So again, the extraneous over there, it says Mikalel Aviv V'imo. No pasuk will come to teach us that Mikalel applies even the achar mita. So the idach, Rabbi Yonatan over here, who uses Aviv Imo Kilel to teach us achar mita, what is he going to do with the pasuk in Mishpatim? He says, how we buy the rabbot bat tumtum vanjuginus. That comes to include a daughter, a tumtum vanjuginus. They're all chayav, not just a son. So when it says typically mishish, that we already learned. Rabbi Yosha learned that out from mishish. Why doesn't Rabbi Yonatan learn from there? So he says dibra torah l'shom bnei adam. Rabbi Yonatan doesn't think ish ish is for a limud. The Torah spoke like people speak, and that was the way that people spoke. Ish ish is a normal manner of speech, and therefore we're not going to learn anything from it. So Gemara says, okay, litnei chomer b'makeh b'makalel. Why doesn't the Mishnah also list that there's a chumra by makeh by b'makalel? Shemakeh asa bo shlo gamcha b'gamcha. We just saw in this Braita above that the Braita wants to suggest that there's actually a difference between Mikalel and Makeh. That by Mikalel, there's a qualifier of Amcha. Only when he's Osim Ase Amcha, you Chayav. But if he's not Osim Ase Amcha, you Patur. But that by Makeh, there is no such qualifier. That means there's a Chumrah. We mentioned that in our Mishnah. The Mishnah only mentions the fact that Mikalel is more chamor because it applies after mitah. Should also mention that Makeh is more chamor because it applies to everyone. Doesn't matter Osim Ase Amcha or not. So why doesn't that mention our Mishnah? So must be makshin haka'ah leklala. It must be that our Mishnah, the author of our Mishnah, holds that there's a hekesh between haka'ah and klala, and just like there's a qualifier by mikalel of osei maaseh amcha, that same qualifier will apply to haka'ah of hitting. So you have the same qualifier. So where it says lemahani tanai kani tanai. So let's see our machlokas here. Now we have a machlokas tanaim between the Braita and our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that there is such a hekesh between haka'ah and klala. That hekesh teaches us that just like by mikalel there's a qualifier of amcha, so too by haka'ah there's a qualifier of amcha. So on the other hand, the author of the Braisa says no, there is no hekesh, and therefore there's a chumrah by makeh that doesn't apply by mikalel. That makeh applies to everyone, whereas mikalel only applies to someone who's osim ase amcha. So if that's the case, we have now a machlokas tanaim. Let's say it's similar to another machlokas tanaim. Do we know why? We have machlokas tani chada. Kuti ata mutzuve al hakato, viata mutzuve al kilalato. That kuti, you're restricted against hitting him, but you're not restricted against cursing him. Betani idoch. We have another verse that says, viata mutzuve lo al kilalato v'lo hakato. You're not mutzuve by a kuti, neither for cursing him, nor for hitting him. So let's assume the kuliyama kutim geriyametu. Everybody holds that the kutim were real gerim, and therefore they are full-fledged Jews now. So my la, but how come if the gate? This is what they're arguing about. Mar sever makshina ka'alek lala, mar sever lo makshina ka'alek lala. Question is, do we have a hekesh, or do we not have a hekesh? Because the kilel, or the isser of klala, only applies to ma'use ma'as amcha or amcha. So since a kuti doesn't qualify as amcha, he's excluded from the parsha mikalel. But when it comes to haka'ah, there is no such exclusion. So the first braita that says you're chayav for haka'ah, but not chayav for klala, is the one who says, no, there is no hekesh between them. Therefore, klala has the qualifier of amcha, haka'ah does not have that qualifier. And then the second braita says, no, there is a hekesh between klala and haka'ah. If there is such a hekesh, then just like there's a qualifier of amcha by mikalel, there's also a qualifier of amcha by haka'ah. Therefore, you'd be totally potter when it comes to a kuti. So let's say that these two, the machlokas between the Mishnah and this Braita, is similar to another machlokas Tanaim that we see by the Kuti. So Mar says, no, you don't have to say that. Right, look, the Kuliyama lo makshin hakala klala. Everybody agrees that we're not makesh. We don't have the hekesh between haka and klala. V'hocha b'hakim iflegei. This is what they're arguing about. Mar savar kutim geri amet, umar savar kutim lav geri amet heim. No, the machlokas here is about whether kutim are really classified as real geirim or not classified as real geirim. So if they're not classified as real geirim, that's why you're patur, the gamre. If they are classified as good geirim, because they are not just doing it out of fear, but they did it out of a true desire to get close to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, so then when we have amcha, it'll be a qualifier by klala, but they won't have the qualifier of amcha by haka. So that's what we say here, that no, everybody agrees that there is no hekesh between Akka and Klala. The question is whether these kutim are geri emet or not. Where it says, the Braita continues and says, Hainu tani Allah, b'sharo ki Yisrael. The Braita continues and says that afterwards that his shore has a din like a shore of Yisrael. Well, what is the din of a shore of Yisrael? We know from the Gemara in Baba Kama that shore Yisrael, that nagach, a shore Kanani, a shore Yisrael that was no geach, a shore Kanani is patur, the gamre. Shore Kanani that is no geach, a shore Yisrael, is chayav. There's no tam, there's no buad, is chayav for all the damage. So that's the din of a Kanani. On the other hand, the din of a kuti, or if you believe that they're geri emet, is something in between. There is such a distinction if a shore Yisrael goes ahead, or their shore goes ahead and gores a Jewish shore over there, we say that there is a distinction between tam and muad. That distinction of tam and muad applies, even though, as Tosfos points out, that when it comes to a kuti, nevertheless, that shor Yisrael, that nagach shor shel kuti is patur. That still stands, just like by shor Yisrael, that nagach shor shel kanani is patur. But there is a difference that a shor shel kuti has a distinction between tam and muad that does not apply to a shor kanani. Now, if the argument in the Braitot is whether the kutim were geri emet and not geri emet, that means the question of whether they're Jewish or not Jewish. Well, if they're not Jewish, how can you claim that their shore has a din like a shore Yisrael, that there's a distinction of Torah, tam and muad? Tam and muad is only application by Yisrael. It's not an application by a Kanani. So if the kutim didn't really convert, they'd be like Kananim. How can you say that their shore is like a shore Yisrael? So it must be that they believe that the kutim are geri emet. They believe the kutim are geri emet. That cannot be the explanation for the bright over here, if the machokas is between geri emet and whether they're geri arayot. Because even in the bright that says geri arayot, that we claim is geri arayot, that they're not chayav klala, they're not chayav for haka, nevertheless we still say shoroki Yisrael. It sure has a din like a shore Yisrael. If that's the case, right, then they are not classified as an Ovi Chachavim, they're classified as a Yisrael. That's okay, Gemara says, okay, you're right. El Shmamina, Bekeshe Pligi Shmamina. En Ochanami, the machlokas between those brighted with the Kuti is the same machlokas we have between the author of our Mishnah, the Tana of our Mishnah, and the brighted that we brought, which is whether you do have the Hekesh of Haka'atu Klala. Do we have that such a Hekesh? That just like by Klala, there's a modifier of Amcha, Ose Maase Amcha, or Mukuyam Shem Amcha, does that qualifier apply to Haka? If you hold of the Hekesh, then in Cholinami, then there is such a qualifier. And like the author of our Mishnah, there's no Chumrah from Makeh above and beyond the Mikalel. Tutu by the Braita, if you hold of this Hekesh, like the author of our Mishnah, that you hold of such a Hekesh, then you're going to have a case where the Kuti is Patur. You're Patur by the Kuti by both instances. Whether it's Hakah or Klala, you're Patur, because they both are qualified by the word Amcha. On the other hand, if you hold like the author of the Braita, the Tana of the Braita, who says there is no Hekesh, then there's a Chumrah of Haka'ah over Klala. And according to that, the author of the Braita, Haka'ah is Chayav, no matter who it is, there's no qualifier. As opposed to that, Klala is a qualifier of Amecha. That's the difference. There's no Hekesh there. And so too, by the Braita, there'll be a difference with a Kuti. If one is Mekalela Kuti, Patur, because you have the qualifier of Amcha. But if it's a Kuti, there'll be Chayav, because there is no Hekesh, and therefore there's no qualifier by Haka'ah, and you're Chayav over there. And since now both Braita are holding that Geri Emet him, they're really Gerim, then we're going to have the Dinim of Israel. They're just disqualified, or they're excluded from the word Amcha. Does Amcha only apply to Klala? Or does Amcha also apply to Haka'ah? And that will be dependent on the Hekesh. Okay, we'll stop over here.